Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How are you doing this week? I hope you are well. I debated saying something else. I debated hoping that you were happy, keen, peachy keen, thrilled, wonderful, in great ecstasy perhaps, but those I think are a little bit too specific, so I'm going to stick with I hope you're well. We are rainy. That's the best I can say. It's raining, but it's cool, so it's nice. It's not that bad. Exams have started at school, which means I've got more free time, which is very nice. But of course, my free time is taken up with what? Grading exams. Don't get into teaching, folks. It's a scam. The whole thing really is. So anyway, this last weekend, we did another edition of Lost in the Stacks, which I hope that you caught. If you did not catch it, go ahead and take a listen. It's pretty good. We discuss the art versus the artist, which is something that's been on my mind since I'm having my students read Ender's Game to start with for their first book. And of course, we all know that Orson Scott Card has little issues with gay people, and I'm one of those. So it's an important discussion, and I do have an answer, but I can't guarantee it's a satisfying answer. So go back, take a listen to it, and tell me what you think. I'd be interested to know your opinion. And this week, we are going to look at matters of philosophy, and that really the whole art versus artist question is a matter of philosophy. You know, what is art? What is an artist? And what is our responsibility towards both of them? So I said last week that we were going to look at philosophy, talk about philosophy, but in graphic novel format. And I did get a correct guess. Tristan correctly guessed that we are reading Logic Comics, An Epic Search for Truth by Apostolos Doxiadis and Christos Papadimitriou. I didn't stumble on those once. Ha ha! All right. So I have a question to begin our review. It's a very simple sounding question, but it's very hard to answer. So I really want you to put a good amount of thought into it before you answer, all right? And be sure you raise your hand, turn off your cell phone, stop making so much noise. You, did you bring gum for the rest of the class? No, you didn't? All right, in the corner. Sorry, I'm in teacher mode. I'm sorry about that. That didn't mean it. That's not important right now. My question is very simple. What is truth? There we go. That's it. It's one of those unanswerable questions that's bugged us ever since we started to ask unanswerable questions, like, why is there evil in the world, or what is art, or do we have free will, or are our lives predetermined from the beginning, or what's the deal with that Bieber kid? I mean, really, this question is one that people either ignore or obsess over. And you didn't think I could get a pop culture reference in, did you? Huh, shows what you know. Anyway, this graphic novel is about one man's pursuit of this question and the ways in which it nearly destroyed his life. The man's name was Bertrand Russell, and we follow his life from childhood to late adulthood as he searches for an unshakable foundation to mathematics and logic, and thus an absolute truth that he could finally rely on. As a child, Russell lived with the question of why things are the way they are, and he got no good answers from his domineering grandmother. It wasn't until his introduction to geometry and the wonder of mathematical proofs that he could finally say there was something about which he could be absolutely sure in this universe. Mathematics, he thought. That would be the answer to everything. Pure, unsullied, and utterly, utterly reliable. But there was kind of a flaw in math at the time. The axioms. You see, mathematics in the 19th century was pretty much a direct descendant of Euclid's work, and rested on a series of axioms in order to function. So an axiom, then, is something that is assumed to be true so that you can go on and prove other things. So, for example, if you have one line and then a point not on that line, there can only be one line drawn through that point that is parallel to the first. Now, why is this true? It just is. If you have to prove that, then you have to prove 1,000 other things first, and you just never end up being able to prove the thing you were trying to prove in the first place. It was like that cosmological model of the world on the back of a turtle, which stands on another turtle, which stands on another turtle, and another, turtles all the way down. Well, that did not satisfy young Russell, and he went off in search of the floor upon which that last turtle stood, as it were. New mathematics that would be able to define the foundation of math, and thereby give a concrete understanding of the universe. Along the way, his desire to apply the certainty of math to human thought and interaction led him to the discipline of logic, a strange chimera of mathematics and philosophy. By becoming a logician, he thought he might finally be able to pin down some absolute truths about not only abstract mathematics, but human nature itself. Of course he failed! Spectacularly! broken marriages, broken friendships, ill health. His obsession with an absolute truth to the universe nearly destroyed everything he had. Fortunately for him, Russell pulled back from the abyss before it could swallow him whole and became one of the early 20th century's greatest philosophers in the process. His failure to find an ultimate foundation for logic and math was not entirely without fruit. Thanks to work by Russell and other people, these disciplines were pushed forward in ways that made our modern lives possible, frankly. New ways of understanding the universe, from the unfathomable depths of infinity to the simplicity of 1 + 1, everything was opened up to examination in those days. Because of men like Bertrand Russell, humanity advanced in great leaps and bounds. Now, in the end, I know if you're listening to this and you haven't read it, you're thinking, oh, great, a comic book about math and philosophy. That's lovely. Where's my gun? But really, it is a very compelling book. I read it, and then I turned right back to page one, and I read it again. Mostly because I was convinced each time that there was something I'd missed, and usually I was right. Toxiadis and Papadimitriou have put together a compelling tale of a man who is often overlooked by the general public, and they did so in a medium that's really close to my heart, the graphic novel. The art is done by Alekos Papadatos and Annie Didona, and it's wonderful. It has a great simplicity that belies the complexity of its topic, and it shows an excellent sense of storytelling. Hats off to the two of them, without a doubt. Now this book, it should be noted, it must be noted, is not a primer on logic. If you're looking to know how logic works, or you want to know a bit more about higher mathematics and how to do them, you best look for another book. As the authors tell us right at the beginning, this book is a story. It is a great tragedy that owes its inspiration to the ancient productions of the Greeks. It is a story of a man who pitted himself against the universe and lost, but who did so in such a way that he and the world came out better for it. The book ends with a scene from the Oresteia, a classic Greek drama about another man who found himself in a no-win situation with no absolutes to rest on. Much like Orestes, when faced with two choices that could lead to his destruction, the only way forward for Russell was to compromise and move forward. By doing so, he not only became a happier man, but he eventually became involved with humanity again, as a philosopher, a teacher, and an anti-war activist. In the end, the book is all about the compromises that we have to make as human beings. The world may be a logical place, but we are not. There is a limit to our logical understanding of ourselves, and sooner or later we have to accept that and deal with people as people rather than as problems to be solved and equations to be balanced. Bertrand Russell's quest, as interpreted by this novel, is an example of how far we can push the need to know exactly what's at the bottom of it all. The fact that the foundations of our world appear to be unprovable and unknowable is, ultimately, unimportant. What is important is that we are here, now, and we need to make sense of our own lives. So that is it. That is Logic Comics. Let me give you a quote. There really weren't a lot of good quotes to kind of cherry-pick from this book. There's great dialogue, it's well-written, but nothing you can really just pull out and keep on its own. So I found a quote from Bertrand Russell. This is from one of his writings titled Unpopular Essays, Philosophy for Laymen. And Russell says, "The demand for certainty is one which is natural to man, but is nevertheless an intellectual vice. So long as men are not trained to withhold judgment in the absence of evidence, they will be led astray by cocksure prophets, and it is likely that their leaders will be either ignorant fanatics or dishonest charlatans. To endure uncertainty is difficult, but so are most of the other virtues." So that is Bertrand Russell telling us that sometimes we just don't know, and we're going to have to live with it. He went through a long, painful process of figuring that out. You don't have to. Isn't that nice of him? So, there we go. I do really recommend it. If you like comics, if you like biographies, if you like philosophy, then you will enjoy this book. I can almost certainly guarantee it. Check it out, Logic Comics. So, that is it for this book. And we're doing it short because I've got a lot of things to do. I've still got some papers to grade, and I've started doing a sort of daily fiction activity, right? You know these 365 projects people do? A lot of people do photography, or they'll do 365 hats or something like that. I decided, starting back on my birthday, I'm going to get back into writing fiction. It's been a while. It's been a long time since I've really had the fun of sitting down and creating worlds and creating characters and starting off with a concept and just seeing where it leads off to. And it had been way too long since I'd done that, so I decided, you know what, this is it. Started on my birthday, I'm going to do a little bit of short fiction every day. Sometimes it might be just 500 words, could be 1,000 words or 1,500 words. I have no idea, really, when I start the day. The projects may be connected, they may not be, I may reuse characters, I might not, you may see something really cool and then never see it again, and there will probably be a very high crap-to-gold ratio. But I'm going to do it, damn it. So I have that to write tonight, too. The address for that, in case you're interested, is yearofstories.wordpress.com. So check it out, yearofstories.wordpress.com. I think some of them are pretty good, and I'm hoping that I can continue to be good. I expect there will be a slump somewhere, but my main goal is just to do this every day without fail. We shall see. So, next week's book. I think I can get some of you with this. I'm pretty sure some of you will know this. I hope that you do. It kind of ties in thematically to this book in the fact that there are some things that we know, there's things we don't know, and ultimately human beings are irrational animals, no matter how hard we try otherwise. And that's really what this book is about. And as a clue to next week's book, I have one question for you. Would you wear a serial killer's cardigan? That's the question. That question hopefully will lead you to this book. So, if you know, please let me know. Email me, put a comment up on the blog, tweet it, toss it up on Facebook, whatever you like, carrier pigeon, microwave transmitters. You can send a plane with a banner to fly across the sky with your answer. Whatever you like. Be creative. Or you can write an essay of 500 words or less. Oh, no, teacher. That's my students, not you. Thank you very much for stopping by, and thank you for listening. I hope that you all have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.